Again, everybody, welcome on in. We are doing our best of social distancing and joining you here on this Tuesday. In a couple of minutes, Eric and Jordan will jump on board. And our chairman of the board, Jared Nielsen, is working remotely as well. It's just that what's going on in society, and there's plenty going on in the world of sports. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And that is with life insurance. Last night I was on the phone with someone that I've been speaking to about his life insurance situation. And he is moving towards getting his policy done at the end of this month. I have my license. I can help people out on that front or just give them some general guidelines and advice. It may not be me. It may just be you going to Sagicor Now. Go to Sagicor Now, check in on their products. Peace Assured is something that you should look into at any stage in your life. That's at Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And that is with Sagicor Now. So when we left you last yesterday, the Cardinals were very, very busy. And they've been busy again today. The Tom Brady story, if you're just joining us, and if you've been working away, grinding at home in this different workflow, saying goodbye to the New England Patriots is the story of the day so far. But locally, there's been some things going on. Eric is remote. Jordan is remote. Let's bring both of them in, and everybody can just kind of mix it up. How are you guys liking this remote stuff, by the way, Eric? Is this because you're one that's like A plus B equals C, but you're adapting well. You have a nice background, beautiful looking area. You have your dogs there with you. It looks peaceful.
This is a whole new world that I'm experiencing right now. But, yeah, I'm willing to give it a try. I mean, we don't really have a choice. And, yes, I am an A plus B equals C type person. I would like the structure of the studio, but we're going to give this a try because this is how it's going to be for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, now, we did do our TV show on Fox Sports Arizona. Fresh episode runs tonight. We got that done, and it's a really good show because Jordan had his story yesterday on Ty Thompson. Are you good working remotely? You're like, I don't know, a lot younger than me. I'm fine working remotely, but this is like normal for you.
Yeah, I kind of work remotely quite a bit, even when there isn't a global pandemic going on. So, it's a little bit more inside the apartment than usual, but that's not necessarily a bad thing.
So I think at some point we might want to have you guys just walk around the house and give us a tour. You know, take your selfie stick and I would love to see like Eric's laundry room and, you know, Jordan's kitchen. And yeah, I think it'd be fun. You know,
give me like 12 hours to clean. And maybe.
All right. So what do you guys make out of the I'll just throw it out there. The story of the day to me nationally, obviously.
So Brad's frozen. So I'll just pick it up. Story of the day. It's going to be like popcorn in reading group. Story of the day, Tom Brady headed off to somewhere, but not New England. Eric, what do you think about that?
Not totally surprised by this. I think we are just waiting. We've seen so many dominoes fall. I think when the biggest domino falls, and that is Tom Brady's next destination, is going to be like an explosion. You're going to see a run on all these quarterbacks go off the market. I mean, Cam Newton, not going back to Carolina, not real happy about it. That's another superstar quarterback that's probably going to have a new home.
And it looks like Teddy Bridgewater is near a deal with the Panthers. I wonder what that also means for Kyle Allen and what his football future looks like, because I thought he played well enough, maybe not to be a top line starter in the NFL, but certainly get an opportunity. But looks like, Teddy's had his health issues, but he's really done a nice job filling in for Drew Brees and kind of being the seamless transition when.
And deservedly so, the Sam Bradford experience, which was really only a few short years ago. I mean, that alone should make you appreciate Kyler even more. And I believe, Jordan, that Kyle Allen signed a one-year deal with the Panthers to come back.
Okay.
I think that was in the news last week. So he will be, I guess, competing with possibly Teddy Bridgewater. I know Will Greer is the other quarterback that they have on the roster right now. But I know Kyle liked it in Carolina, and the Panthers like him. I don't know if that's for a long-term starter position. Maybe Teddy Bridgewater comes in for a few years and then they hand the reins back to Kyle. I'm not sure.
And by the way, this rundown brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. With this Tom Brady news, do you see natural writing on the wall of where he could end up?
No. I mean,
the Chargers, come on.
Of course, yeah, the Chargers. Hey, it's good to have Brad back. I don't see
him. Hey, Brad's up from his catnap.
I hear him.
That's fine. It's the Chargers. Come on, have him go to L.A. Jordan, I think Chase Daniel getting $30 million over the last 2 years makes my day. Chase Daniel, 30 million bones.
That is the true American dream.
Now, I think when I get on into the dear crazy parent, now I understand why. Because my son could be the next Chase Daniel. My son could be out there making $30 million as a backup. You know, or Kyle Allen and how that worked out for him and the money that, that Kyle Allen's getting. But why would Tom Brady go to the Chargers? It would have to be his wife being involved in this, right, guys? Don't you think?
You'd think, but where are the other scenarios? Like, go play with Gruden in Vegas. Looks like Carolina is taken care of now. Where else would
Tampa Bay?
Yeah, Tampa.
You've got Bruce Arians, and you've got an opportunity in Tampa where, you know, great weather, right? Is the division that tough top to bottom?
No.
Is it really that tough top to bottom? No. And so, I mean, if you look at, like, the destinations, if I'm Tom Brady and my wife is involved in this decision, I've got to go to Los Angeles and play in front of family and friends, and that's what the NFL needs. They need something because nobody cares about what the Chargers are doing. Nobody. Right? I mean, and so if you go down the list of other teams, Indianapolis, why would you go to Indianapolis? I mean, really, you're indoors, I guess. Does that really matter? But you're in Indianapolis. You're nowhere near your wife.
A lot of the reports that I saw this morning, it sounds like Philip Rivers is going to end up with the Colts, so you can check that box, as it appears that the former Charger quarterback is going to be going to the snowy Midwest.
Yeah, and that makes sense. That makes sense. But like Cam Newton, where's Cam Newton going to end up at all of this, guys? It just has a feel that Cam Newton is going to be a guy that shows up in New England, we're all going to say, Cam Newton can't stay healthy. Cam Newton can't do this. Cam Newton can't do that. And the Patriots are going to be the ones that swoop in. Or Cam Newton is a guy that John Gruden can say, I can get him turned around. But of the quarterbacks that are out there right now, and like you said earlier, Eric, when Brady's domino falls, wherever Brady decides to go, then all these other guys are going to make the moves. Drew Brees announced he's returning to New Orleans. Okay, so yep. Drew Brees is off the market today. But somewhere out there, there's going to be a surprise. Kirk Cousins is going to stay in Minnesota. That came down. Somewhere, there's going to be a crazy owner who says, I'm going to be the one that is going to throw huge dollars at this guy because we need it. Or the NFL, because I'm a conspiracy theorist when it comes to the NFL. They want the LA market to do well. I was reading this morning in the LA Times that Todd Gurley is going to get traded. So it's a pretty good back that's going to be out there. But LA needs to have the sizzle and buzz factor. And to me, it just feels like, as we're sitting here right now, the Chargers are like the laughingstock of the NFL. They don't have fans. They have a new stadium. And the wife part of this, the glitz and glam, to me, it's either Vegas or the Chargers. And the Chargers seems to make more sense.
And I don't think it's going to be the Raiders because the Raiders signed Marcus Mariota, and John Gruden loves Marcus Mariota. Loves
He's a backup.
Out of Oregon,
He's a backup.
He's a backup.
That was a short-term deal, too. I mean,
He's a backup.
I think it makes it less likely. I don't think it makes it completely out of the question. What about that? What if Miami, rather than going after one of these first four quarterbacks coming out, could they look at a Cam Newton type?
Sure. I can see that.
Where's Josh Rosen going to end up in all this? Because you know he's going to get blown out. Josh Rosen's going to get blown out again. Like, poor Josh Rosen just cannot find a team that maybe, is going to keep him. Nobody.
He got the hell beat out of him at Josh UCLA.
Maybe Josh Rosen is just the younger version of Case Keenum and Chase Daniel, where he's going to make all this money just being like a backup quarterback for the next decade.
And there's nothing wrong with that. God bless Chase Daniel. And Josh could get a bigger hot tub. I mean, $30 million for Chase Daniel. What's Josh Rosen going to get?
I could see him going to Pittsburgh. I'm just going to say that right now.
Really?
Yeah.
You have anything on that, or are you just throwing it out there? You're making
that
it stick.
Position, just as I'm looking at just these NFL teams and QB stability, yes, they have Roethlisberger and they have a couple of guys that have been rotating through as Roethlisberger gets hurt. Like, that just makes sense to maybe – you know, he's a guy that they just come in and just say, hey, back up. You may get three starts this year just based on how things have gone the previous years. And just try to get an opportunity there.
All right, we're going to take a break. I'm looking up at the NFL Network. It's the beauty of working remotely is we all have our own studios. Eric's is plush and sweet. Jordan's and mine look about the same. It just looks like dudes hanging out. We're just doing our thing here, but on the other side, Grand Canyon University, in a span of 4 days, fires Dan Marley and already has their new coach. All right? So we are working remotely. That's part of the deal here. Sports360AZ.com. You can go to our website. There's plenty of content there. We're back after this timeout. All right, welcome back. Good Tuesday show. We're brought to you by Sagicor. Now protect what matters most. That is with life insurance. We appreciate Sagicor. Go to Sagicor now and get your free quotes and check out all their products. All right, so Eric and Jordan are back with us. So the other big story going on in the Valley today, and there's a few others, but here on this Tuesday is the Grand Canyon University has hired their basketball coach. They have decided that they're going to go with Bryce Drew, and I am surprised by this. I felt like Randy Bennett was the first choice. I felt like he was the second choice. And then there was a whole group of people after that. I have not talked with Brian Mueller about any of this, so I don't know if Randy Bennett was offered the job. There were reports that he was on campus over the weekend. I don't know really, guys, what to make out of this hire because Bryce Drew got fired at Vanderbilt. They went 0-19 in league play. They were a top 25 team at the start of the year. His best player tore his meniscus, and then he was gone. I mean, what do you guys, Eric, let's start with you. What do you make out of this hire by GCU?
I would say if he has half the success of his brother Scott Drew is doing at Baylor, this is a home run hire for GCU. I agree. I think Randy Bennett would have been the perfect fit, but like you, I'm not really familiar with if he was offered the job, if he turned down the job, how far along down the road GCU got. I know that Bryce Drew recruited Saban Lee, Vanderbilt's best player, who is from the Valley, and I know he has ties back here. So it's a little bit younger, maybe, version of Dan Marley in the sense that he has a little bit more coaching experience, but he's a shooting guard, played in the league a little bit. I'm just curious to see what happens because clearly GCU needed a jump start and maybe Drew is the guy to do it.
Jordan?
Randy Bennett would have been a great option, but he signed a 10-year contract. He was under contract through 2027.
Right.
Like that, I feel like, and you have that sort of comfortability. You're in the WCC. If you can pick off Gonzaga once every couple of years, like that's a pretty comfortable job, I feel like. So GCU, yes, they are continuing to grow and be a good conference. There's still uncertainty about what conference they could be in moving forward. This is a very good job. But that's why when people were like, yes, on GCU side, I feel like Randy Bennett was the guy to go get. But I don't know how realistic that might have been for Randy Bennett, given that he signed a 10-year contract just a couple of years ago. On Bryce Drew, I think he is like Eric said, they're going younger. They're trying to, I think get that energy, especially in the state going to kind of match that havoc mentality that the fan base has. And I think he's someone that could really feed into that. And he has had success playing the Cinderella, both as a player and as a coach, to where his teams were getting to the tournament consistently. So I think if he is given the proper amount of time, and it seems like Dan was given the proper amount of time, I think that he could build this into something and help them take those next sort of steps.
And I also think, if I could jump in here real quick, guys, when I was writing up the GCU Fire's Dan Marley, I researched their roster. 5 of their 6 scorers are returning next year or plan to return next year. So I'm sure Bryce Drew looked at this. I mean, Carlos Johnson, arguably their best player, graduates. But it's not like there isn't talent left over. And I also think it's interesting because the release mentioned Drew's faith over and over and over. And clearly that also connects with what GCU's mission is off the floor. And I'm curious to know how much that actually played into this decision as well.
Okay, so there's a little bit more here on Bryce Drew from my view. And just to back up, I was fine with Dan being let go. I mean, Eric, I think I told you a few weeks back, Dan's gone. Dan was a dead man walking, and there's no reason for Dan to be bitter. If anything, I'm worried about Dan Marley and the Marley's brand today, because sports bars are being shut down and there's no March Madness, and they were already in a really tough environment. And Dan just didn't look happy. He looked physically like he was uncomfortable. And, you know, Brian Mueller is not patient. That's just how it is. 7 years, that's a lot of patience on the president's part.
Sure.
And so rightly or wrongly, Dan leaves. So Bryce Drew, in researching this a little bit, the athletic director that hired him announced his retirement in September. The chancellor of the university announced that he was leaving 2 weeks after that happened. Bryce Drew said that the new AD that came in September had one meeting with him, never went to one practice. Okay, so this was a dead man walking.
This is at Vanderbilt?
At Vanderbilt, yeah, at Vanderbilt.
So, and his lottery pick was out for the year.
Yeah, with a torn meniscus, right.
Yeah,
So if you go through everything that happened with his dismissal, with Bryce Drew being fired, one, Jerry Colangelo, somewhere behind the scenes on this, asking people who's a good young coach, who's out there, who's available. That's one. Two, I think if you look at the GCU job, from my view, this is just me in state, I'm not going to be surprised if Bobby Hurley and Ray Anderson don't get back together again. My understanding is there's been some tension over there over not getting a new building. I would not be surprised if Sean Miller did not come back to the U of A. And I'd really be surprised up at NAU if they didn't just keep in-house their coach that they brought up this last year. And I think there's going to be more change on the college basketball scene here in the state in the next few weeks. What's really interesting, though, is GCU fires Dan on a Thursday, and they turn around on a Tuesday morning. They don't even wait, guys. They don't wait for who else might pop up, who else might quit, who else is on the radar. They don't even wait. They just move in 4 days. Like, they had to have known either it's Randy or it's Drew. I'm sure that they'll say, and I'm sure Randy will say, we never talk, we have any conversation, there's nothing there. Of course, I'll always say, well, did your attorneys talk and did your agents talk? Because that's how guys get around there. No, I haven't talked to anybody. No, but have your representatives talked to anybody? So the way this whole went down, like, Eric, I think GCU could be a bounce back for Bryce Drew. Will they schedule back the people that say they're in a lousy conference? Yeah, they're in a lousy conference. But I still think as college sports are going through this really uncertain time with a new television contract, I can see GCU bouncing out of this and getting into some form of the West Coast Conference at some point. They're not going to keep playing Chicago State or Kansas City, Missouri. That's not happening. So this may be a great hire for them. I don't dislike this hire. I know that people see 0-18 in conference, and they're like, what the heck is GCU doing? But this actually makes sense to me. It's just the timing of it.
And I think it's interesting, too, because GCU, not this past year, but the previous 2 years, made it to the WAC championship game and got destroyed by New Mexico State. So you can make the argument that, yes, they are maybe getting closer to getting to the top of the WAC, but they're also not that close because of how New Mexico State has just handled them in the tournament and in the regular season.
Well, I think when you and I left last year, we left at halftime of the championship game because we knew. And I talked before the game with Jerry and Brian and Brian Mueller, and you could just kind of get the sense of, here we are again. We're going to get drilled again. They got drilled again. It felt to me in the last year that Dan was a dead man walking for the whole year almost. When they hired Marvin Menzies in August, to me, that was a shot across the bow saying, we're going to bring in a coach that used to beat you, Dan. And I don't know if Marvin's going to stay on. I don't know that with Bryce coming on board. But everything just added up in the last year when people are like, oh, my gosh, I'm so surprised. If you looked closely at this, not a surprise from my view. All right, on the other side, we're going to go one last push through all the NFL stuff that's going down because there's been a lot that's happened familiar with that we've covered here in the fight through the years. That's next on a Tuesday, sports360az.com. All right, before we get out of here, I think what would be a good segment to do every day since all of us, those of you watching, the three of us. So how has your life been disrupted and how have you had to change something up? What have you had to change up? And we don't have to have something every day. I saw Eric on social last night. You decided to go out in public. You were not afraid to go out in public. You went out in public, and you ended up where exactly?
Lou Malnati's Pizza in Central Phoenix to celebrate my dad's birthday later this week. We did decide to go out. And there were probably about 15 people in the entire restaurant.
Including workers?
Including workers, there were probably 5 or 6 people, so close to 20. And last night was the last night that you could go in the restaurant and sit and eat. Today, moving forward, it's only takeout. No in-dining guests. So.
What about you, Jordan?
I've just tried to stay in my apartment as much as I can. The plan today is probably leave once to go like get a prescription. And other than that, just try to listen to what the doctors and the experts are saying and just try to, you know, flatten the curve and that sort of thing. So really just trying to, you know, usually I'll run out a couple times here and there, go to the gym, go to, you know, grab a Diet Coke here and there, whatever, probably 3 or 4 times if I'm being completely honest. But I'm really just trying to stay put.
So I talked yesterday to a business guy, and he's already forecasting that he's going to lose north of $600,000 in the industry that he's in. I talked to another business guy yesterday that has a staff of people that he's worried about layoffs and that they're really, really nervous. And we went to go get water, and we were at the water place, and they ran out. And there were people that were showing up to get water. The guy said he went through 900 gallons in 5 hours. So there's things that are out there that you just see. And I put this up on LinkedIn that when you talk to people, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're a CEO, if you're working in, or if you're a student, when somebody says, how are you doing? I like to say, and I've said this to both of you at times, not recently, but no. How are you really doing? I think it's important to take that how are you really doing approach right now, because the mental health of people is the guys I talked to yesterday, they were shook. They were shook pretty good. And so I think it's important to take some time. And not to go too deep on this, because there's some sports stuff I want to get to before we get out of here. But it's okay to take some time and say, how are you really doing right now? Because you just don't know. These are businesses that are being obliterated, that are being wiped out, not by fear. I'm not sitting here doing media stuff. I'm talking directly to those guys, and they are just hurting. So it's important to take the time to do that.
It was almost eerie, guys, driving down the 51 last night at 5:10 p.m. on a Monday. And it was like Sunday morning traffic on the 51. It was just bizarre. So people are definitely staying in, which is good.
Yeah, the 101-202 yesterday after we finished taping the TV show, nobody. At 3 o'clock. And that's usually a parking lot for me.
Right.
And there was nobody. like just going right along. And when I'm up early in the morning, I'm out. Everything is so quiet because there's nobody leaving the neighborhood. There's nobody on the roads out where I live. Kids are home from school. Even people that are on vacations that I've talked to are concerned about what's happening. So, you know, on the sports side of things, I think here in Phoenix, we've had some big stuff happen. And it's fun to talk about it because that's what sports is meant to be. It's meant to be that distraction. And I guess on today's show, now that we're in this space, the Cardinals today picked up Jordan Phillips. We didn't go through that as of yet. Jordan Phillips, statistically, big numbers at Buffalo. Jordan, do you like this move by the Cardinals on the defensive line?
I'm interested to see how it plays out because he had one really good year. And then other than that, it was he's been pretty average. Brenton Buckner coming back, I think, is going to help the defensive line a lot. As the defensive line coach. And the other thing I saw that was interesting from Scott Bordeaux was that he could potentially play on the outside opposite Chandler Jones. So that doesn't necessarily take a Derrick Brown type out of Auburn out of play at pick number 8. So it sounds like there is some versatility there along the defensive line, which hasn't had much depth recently for the Cardinals over the past couple of years. So having a guy that can play kind of a couple different positions, I think, will be really helpful.
What do you think, Eric?
Good. I think he's a good player. I think he addresses a need. I think the Cardinals have been obviously very proactive so far, and it does allow them some flexibility when it comes to the 8th pick, because I don't think they're going to take a wide receiver. And I've been just noticing there are already some whispers that maybe Devon Kennard is the guy that they put opposite Chandler Jones now that he was released by the Lions. Maybe the Desert Vista kid comes home if it makes sense. And it's amazing how quickly 48 hours has completely reshaped the Cardinals roster just by making a couple moves.
Well, and the one move they made was an absolute heist.
Total hype. Yeah.
You know, I mean, just like we've been on the other end of deals like this where it's like, what are we doing here exactly in Arizona? What is going on? And then it's the other side of, are you serious? And look, next December, if David Johnson is leading the NFL in rushing, none of us would have seen it coming.
No.
And if DeAndre Hopkins has a hamstring that's bugged him all season long, it's fun to sit here in March and say, oh my gosh, can you believe how the Cardinals fleeced the Texans? We've all done this through the years. But the other side of it on my end is, yeah, it all looks great in March. It just takes one helmet to the knee in the NFL. Just takes one hamstring. Just takes one this or one that. And all of a sudden it's, that deal didn't really work out like we all thought it was going to.
Well, and Jordan made a good point earlier in the show, Brad, about how thankful we are to have Kyler Murray. And I reminded him that, hey, remember Sam Bradford was going to be the guy that stabilized the quarterback position here in Arizona? Eek.
It's also going to be really interesting moving forward. These Cardinals are going to have expectations now. This new regime came in year one with very low expectations, I think, from the national media. So now seeing, we kind of saw it with Baker Mayfield, year one, super impressive, year two kind of struggled. And, you know, they were going to be a Super Bowl or bust type team. Now this Cardinals team has expectations. How are they going to handle it? When really a lot of these veterans haven't experienced a season like this, and a lot of the new guys, especially along the offensive line, have never really experienced this in the NFL.
Well, in the division, it is still the 49ers. Mm-hmm. It is still the Seahawks. The Rams feel like a team that's going through this and that. And I know that the Cardinal fans will point out, well, they lost all these close games last year. That could just be the sign of a bad team. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know that there's the, well, they were so close. Yeah. I've seen that through the years in sports. And I'm not sitting here hating on the Cardinals. It's just that trade yesterday was an absolute steal. So now, moving forward, what happens at number 8 if we're sitting here today, if it's me and I'm holding number 8, I'm trading back because I already gave up a second-round pick. I'm trading back from 8 to 12 to 14 because there's going to be somebody out there who's saying, we need a quarterback, and if the quarterbacks fall the way they do, guys will reach up at 8 and trade back 4 spots, and maybe you reacquire that second. Maybe you get a second, third. I think trading down right now, because there's not a player that I sit there at eight and say, oh my gosh, I absolutely love it. If we're grading the off seasons of teams right now, the Cardinals would have to be the best off season acquisition in all the NFL.
For sure.
Question. Yeah. And who would have thought that?
I agree with you on looking to trade back, unless like a Jeff Okuda falls, where I think he's in a scenario, I think, where it was like Patrick Peterson. The Cardinals didn't necessarily need to take a cornerback at number five that year. They needed a quarterback desperately. They took the best available player, and it's worked out pretty darn well. A lot better than drafting Blaine Gabbert would have been. So if a guy like that...
Why are you bashing Blaine Gabbert? What did Blaine Gabbert do to you?
He has
poor
great
Blaine
hair.
Gabbert.
He has poor great Blaine hair, Gabbert. But he had no business being a top 10 pick.
Wow, and just crushed him.
Oof. But if you can trade back to like a 12 or a 19 where the Raiders are, who maybe want to go get a CD Lamb, or even the Patriots now, maybe they want to jump up into the quarterback mix, then you can probably get quite a few picks and help a much improved roster, but a still thin roster.
How do you think Trevor Lawrence is feeling about everything right now? Because you know that Trevor Lawrence has to be sitting there looking at everything going on in the NFL saying, I think I'm going to end up here or I think I'm going to end up there. Like, let's just say, guys, that the New England Patriots go out and go take Philip Rivers. Okay. Obviously, he's not the long-term answer.
No.
Let's say they went out and they picked up Cam Newton. Not the long-term answer. Let's say they do nothing this year. Let's say the Patriots decide, you know what, we're going to reshuffle the deck, which they never do. But could they reshuffle the deck? Is there a team out there already that's saying, okay, we know that Arizona, Trevor Lawrence is not coming to Arizona next year. But Trevor Lawrence is a once-in-a-generation guy. He is that Peyton Manning. He is that type of quarterback. And so you could start checking off the boxes of teams. If you're a team that, let's just say the New Orleans Saints today, which they did, Drew Brees is coming back, and they intended Bridgewater go. New Orleans could be a destination next year because they could do everything in their power to go after Trevor Lawrence. My point on this rant is start looking at the teams that are filling a hole, saying we've got a quarterback for the next 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And now you can start to see, okay, Trevor Lawrence could end up in fill in the blank.
And there's going to be a team that vastly underachieves. Who would have thought that Andrew Luck would have ended up with the Colts?
Sure.
When it was Peyton Manning. Injuries happen. You know, same thing. Who would have thought that a team like the 49ers who would have the second overall pick and taking Nick Bosa after Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, all of a sudden they're in the Super Bowl. So things will come at you fast, too, where – you know, seasons will be over pretty much week one for certain teams where key injuries or just underachieving happens as well.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is not going to Seattle. Trevor Lawrence is not going to Kansas City.
Not going to Cincinnati.
Not going to go to Cincinnati, right? Although, Eric, on that one, if you miss so badly on a quarterback in this day and age, teams don't care, right? I mean, if Baker Mayfield doesn't play well this year, in Cleveland, I can completely see the Browns blowing things up again because that's what Cleveland does is they just keep blowing things up. But if you're a team like, let's just say down where he is, you're in Atlanta and Matty Ice is still just being Matty Ice, it's probably time for a different direction, right? Mm-hmm. If you're in Pittsburgh and Ben Roethlisberger doesn't come back and play well this year, then it's probably time to go a different direction. That's my point is I think the Trevor Lawrence side of this story today and the next week of who is going to be in position a year from now because he is such a great player. So anything else on your guys' mind today in free agency? Anything you're looking forward to in free agency today?
I just think after seeing the deal for Stephon Diggs, that just further solidifies what a steal it was for the Cardinals to essentially give up their now backup running back with a massive contract for a second round pick for one of the five best wide receivers in football. And yeah, he might be a step slower and, or, you know, not his elite of elite, but still his pretty good is better than a lot of most.
Yeah, no doubt. Great trade for the Cardinals. Like I mentioned earlier, I want to see this Tom Brady domino fall because everyone is speculating, oh, is it the Chargers? Oh, is it Tampa Bay? Oh, is it this team? Oh, is it that team? And that is the biggest storyline in free agency in the NFL this year, no doubt.
I want him to go to the Chargers.
Makes a lot of sense.
And the Chargers are talented. Let's not kid ourselves. The Chargers have talent.
So Troy Lovello from the Diamondbacks is going to have a conference call this afternoon, just looking ahead at things going on in the Valley. Because when people say there's nothing going on in sports, welcome to Arizona. We have a ton that is going on in sports. GCU hired their coach today. The Cardinals signed another free agent. They made a big trade. So the idea of the sports world has stopped, that's not true. The games have stopped, but the business side of sports continues on. So we're going to head over and work on content on the website. Jordan's already done a couple pieces. We're pro college high school. We're Arizona centric. Good job, guys. I'll see you tomorrow. Jared Nielsen, chairman of the board. Good job there. Have yourselves a great Tuesday.